away we go, everybody. Hello, Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Tom, it's midweek. We made it. March the 10th, 2021. And the week started off very warm, almost 90 degrees near record temperatures. And things have cooled off. This is more to my liking.
Yeah, and the temps are going to stay relatively cool, say around 70, maybe in the 60s or low 70s. We may even see some rain Friday and Saturday. We'll see.
That's the component, the missing component in all of this that we need so bad. We do need rain. We're in our 11th year already here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The radio station is 1030. It's Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We're darn proud of what's available there at buckmastershow.com. Where are you going to find an archive of more than 10 years of radio content at that website? The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Well, the vote was 6-1 of the Tucson City Council last night, voting to halt the Reed Park Zoo's expansion of a new Pathway to Asia exhibit that the zoo says will help Malayan tiger conservation efforts while creating room for a reptile house and an aviary. But the 3.5-acre expansion into Reed Park is controversial because it would take over the Southern Duck Pond and what is called Barnum Hill. The council, acting on a motion by Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, decided to pause the expansion for 45 days, try to come up with a compromise, do some mediation between a group called Save the Reed Park Duck Pond and the Tucson Zoological Society. The one lone dissenting vote was Councilman Kasacek, contending that by ceasing the contracts the city has with several contractors and the Reed Park Zoological Society, it comes with a hit to the city's credibility. The zoo has already spent $2 million to fund the expansion after the mayor and council's approval back in 2018. Let's bring now on the live line City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Paul, can there be a realistically, do you think we can get a compromise and get both sides to sit down at the table and move forward? That's really, I would like to concentrate on this interview.
It depends on whether or not, it depends on where the hard ground is. I actually think that if the zoo has their heart set on building on Barnum Hill, then they won't get a compromise. And if the heart of the park people have their heart on saving Barnum Hill, they may not get the compromise. In other words, it's about Barnum Hill. One group has to give. And truthfully, I never have been when I voted for this. One of the things that people said was, "Well, you approved it on October 8th, 2019." In that 356-page document, buried on the last page is this little map that shows they're probably going to go on to what I know now to be called Barnum Hill. And I didn't care. I thought that was fine. I had never been to Barnum Hill, didn't even know its significance. The only reason that I went to Reed Park at the time was I went to the zoo, I went to High Corbett Field, I played golf, and once in a while I'd go to a special event at Manchel or something. That was it. It is not my neighborhood park. And as such, that should have been taken into consideration. So I'll openly admit that I was not attuned to the significance of Barnum Hill at the time. And now that it's come into focus, I got to admit, we might not have been right about that. We need to go back and take a look. And that's why I supported Mr. Fimbers' motion last night. And I stand by that, too, is that, yeah, at the time in 2018, I felt we were doing the right thing, and that's why I voted for it. I stand by that. But we definitely need to take a look at our alternatives. There's a possibility we could shift the redesign of the southeast. It'll cost us some extra money, but you never know. It might save us some money in the long run, or save us in goodwill in the long run. We have a lot of people who dissent to the urban renewal that took place in the early 70s with the Tucson Convention Center, and there's still some bad mojo about that. And I don't want that to be the zoo's fate. So I think we acted rather prudently and responsive to the folks. I know the zoo's probably disappointed, but I got to tell you, my history and my record with the zoo is impeccable. So I've always supported the zoo 100%. I think we probably need to relocate this expansion, but just because we're going to delay it and maybe redesign it, that doesn't mean we're not going to have a Malayan tiger expansion. That doesn't mean we're not going to have the Asia expansion. That just means it's going to be delayed and we might have to move it. And that to me is better than the alternative of taking Barnum Hill and then remastering the entire Reed Park and rebuilding an entire other park for even more money. I think that this is the better way to do it. And we got one shot at this because I'm not going to redesign more than once. We've already learned our lesson with Rio Nuevo and, you know, two decades ago about designs and redesigns. Heck no. But I'm willing to give them this one shot of the apple to see if we can get it right.
And this space you talk about, could you articulate the doable space that you feel really would be very workable, Paul Cunningham?
There's actually two options. Both of them, in my opinion, are workable. One is to the southeast. It would require refurbishing and moving the Annette Block Cancer Survivors Walk to the Rose Garden, and the horseshoe pitchers would go to their own dedicated site, which is from what I understand with some of the horseshoe community, they've wanted anyway for a while. They're kind of underparked there. It would also be taking that South Park. That's one option. It may not be the option. I think some people aren't really interested in having the Cancer Society walk closer to the Rose Garden. I thought it was a cool idea, but I'm not a stakeholder in that. I don't represent that group or anything. I just want to listen. The other place we could go is in the central parking lot just north of the zoo and just south of the youth ball parking lot and extend that out to the new rec area. There's an older rec building, rehab rec building, that can be either repurposed or raised and fixed up. It's one of the Jostler buildings that has some historical connotations, but there are several Jostler buildings on that campus. So I think that, you know, as long as we preserve the other pieces, I don't think we're going to have a historical issue. But that's what happens with these things. Whenever you talk about moving into horseshoe area or golf area or taking a historical building, someone's going to be upset. And the bottom line is everyone's got to give a little here. And I think that one thing that is fair is that the folks who live in the neighborhoods, the immediate neighborhoods around Reed Park, I'm talking about El Montevideo, I'm talking about La Colonia, I'm talking about Arroyo Chico, I'm talking about just west, I'm talking about San Clemente, all neighbors in all those neighborhoods all said, hey, man, don't get rid of the park, the hill. That's not good. And I felt compelled to listen.
Sure. Well, I just hope we can work something out and satisfy both sides and move forward. And I do want to move forward with another issue that some people in the community feel is really the most important issue, and that is police and police staffing. And this the email that was sent out by Chris Magnus, the police chief, saying, we're taking a hard look here at the response times, and he's really come up with a revised list of what those response times will be and what areas the police will not be responding to. Should the residents of Tucson be very concerned and troubled at this point about this?
This is about the fourth time we've done this since I've been in office. This is probably the most benign priority shift we've had, though. Yes, I mean, I'm not really keen on uncooperative hospital victims being not being responded to faster. And there's a couple of classifications. There's some, I think, longer term, maybe some code enforcement items that we may not respond to. So no one really likes any shift like this, quite frankly. But the bottom line and the reality is that around the country, it is just hard to retain and hire police officers right now. It just is. And Tucson's not done itself any favors in that we are not as competitive as we could be with our retention pay. So those are the facts of the case. I've long argued and been supported by PCOA over the years, and I've been supportive of that. But we also are seeing a paradigm shift in the entire discussion about law enforcement, what kind of law enforcement we have, and the culture that exists there. So that discussion is enveloped in this discussion. I think they all have to do with each other. But let's make one thing clear. We have some amazing police officers in this city. And it's not, I don't think it's fair to loop police officers all into one group and decide that they're all bad. And I think that's kind of been some of the mentality we've had. And I just don't feel that's true at all. I think, in fact, the opposite is true. And then we have a lot of people who are dedicated public servants who put on that uniform every day and do their best to make our community better. We want to be supportive of them. We want to give them the tools they need. And most importantly, we've got to make sure we've got enough personnel to respond to the important things. There's some other shifts that may be made. We may have some traffic officers respond to calls at certain hours. We may have some folks pulled off academy training so they can respond to calls and revise some of how we do the academy. We have two academies this year, but we'd be better off if we could have four academies this year, if it wouldn't cost us the people that we're losing. I mean, hey, unfortunately, a few after what happened in the last year with in some people's eyes, fortunately, what happened this year in bringing into focus some of the things that are concerning about law enforcement, a lot of cops have decided to hang it up, have decided to retire. We have a few cops leaving, police officers leaving for other departments. But from what I'm reading and how I'm understanding, almost every department is in crisis with retention.
All right, we're going to take a break right here and talk about my favorite bakery, Paul Cunningham, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. How about one of those Scandinavian pastries in the oval shape packed with almond or some beautiful fruit paste? That's what a Kringle is all about. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website, and that's the place that you can put in your order. So the order would be ready when you arrive at the bakery, or you can call ahead for your bakery goods or come in, have a seat in the bakery, some limited dining there, and there's plenty of room outside. Mona's Danish Bakery, one of the proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show in the Greetin' Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, my go-to place for everything green. 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, and annuals, and they're open every day. They open early, and get over there and ask your gardening questions of a very knowledgeable staff, 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com. And of course, don't forget zocalovillage.com for all that great merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, with us on the live line, and Bruce Ash has a question about the police issue. Go ahead, Bruce.
Paul, thanks for coming on Bill's show. I just wanted to make sure that I heard you clearly a few minutes ago. Did you actually say that the changes recommended by the police chief for calls not to be taken anymore were rather benign? That's
well,
what I heard.
Never benign.
Is that what I heard?
Taking no call is ever benign. Like taking less calls, I'm saying it's more benign than the last time we had to do this. That's what I'm making a comparison. You can try to twist the words and make it sound like a word, but in no circumstance is anybody trying to downplay the idea that not taking certain calls or moving them to the bottom of the board is a good thing. If you want to try to make it sound like I don't care or whatever, that's kind of what it sounds like you're doing. That's fine. I mean, I understand.
No, Paul,
obviously, as a guy who supports our community and our police department, I wouldn't say that it's benign to take that. What I'm saying is that this is the least invasive way we can continue to have higher priority calls responded to in a better time. And we, you know, yes, we have a shortage of resources. That's the real issue here. But I'm not trying to disparage any other lower calls or anything like that.
Okay. Hopefully, Bruce, that answers your question. I want to move on. Okay. All right. Bruce Ash calling us. Paul Cunningham, what's this good news about the, there's a sporting event that I think we can all wrap our fingers around and our heads around, something to really look forward to. What was announced yesterday?
Well, let's start and just say that it's all COVID permitting. As you know, I've taken COVID very seriously, trying to get our people tested and vaccinated. It's one of the most important things out there. So we really want to do our best in couching these comments I'm about to make, which are really positive, with we're going to do everything COVID permitting. If there's another surge, obviously the circumstances will change. If we have great numbers, in other words, we don't have any cases and any deaths for a few weeks, we can actually have this as a public event. And so we don't really know exactly what the event's going to look at, but to some degree we do know, or the plan is, that on May 8th of 2021 at Tucson High School, we're going to give every senior who has not signed an LOI, that means they're not already on a college scholarship, or and a senior who did not participate in track or baseball or any of the other spring sports is not currently in another sport. They're going to get the opportunity to play in a game with all the other seniors from Southern Arizona, Nogales County, Santa Cruz County, Pima County, Cochise County are all included. And we're going to take 150 seniors that are in good academic standing. We're going to take two State Hall of Fame coaches, Dennis Benet and Nemer Hasse. We're going to put the kids on a field for a great football game, give them one last look, roll some tape to send to coaches because it's an NCAA dead period. We're going to do that in partnership with the Arizona Bowl, some local states stakeholders. Shout out to HSL Properties who have helped come in to help the game. But I'm really excited about this opportunity. You know, my son is a senior at Rincon. In fact, he's a student body president, and every time I bring that up, I'm beaming with pride. But he's told me that, you know, Dad, we've got 1 month to put in 1 year worth of memories, and I agree with him. And so I'm going to do everything I can to do that. Our seniors deserve it, and this just isn't a football game. We're going to have marching band kids if we can. We're going to have drill team, spirit
good.
Farm.
Good, good,
kids.
Good. I think that's
good. This
that's
is
good.
About the seniors. Yeah. So if you want to get involved, SouthernAZAllStarGame.com. And look, there's one other thing that I ask the community to help with, and be nice about it, please. We'd really like to have the AIA be our partner in this game. I know that a lot of people think the AIA is the bad guys, and they don't like Tucson, and, you know, they have good reasons to believe that. But we need the AIA to sanction this game. We go up on Monday, the 15th, to ask them to sanction this game just this 1 year. Otherwise, we have to move the game to the summer. We just don't have a choice. And that's just not the same because it's not in the school year. It's just not the same because you're really not, you know, the kids are graduated. They moved on. And this is supposed to be part of high school. So that's kind of the pitch we have to make to the AIA this Monday. I'm hoping that they consider it. I think it's a good thing. I think that it's within the AIA mission to allow us to have this game sanctioned. And once we have that sanctioning from the AIA, we'll be able to start our COVID mitigation plan with Pima County Health Department. But we have given all these stakeholders heads up. We've given them all kind of the idea about it. And no one has come forward and said, well, this is horrible. No one has said, why are you doing this? What's the point? I mean, because we waited until the vaccine had rolled out. We waited. And it still might not be exactly what everybody envisions, but it's going to be a heck of a thing for our seniors and the parents of family seniors. And I'm proud to be a part of it. I want to thank Jeff Skurin, our legendary Tucson coach, who's taken three or four different high schools and school districts to the state championship game. And he has basically putting the football piece together, making sure the kids get uniforms with their names on it, making sure that the kids get to have a protocol and how they sign up. He's even helping the coaches with the offenses and the defenses so they're simple to learn, and we're not going to have players going over the middle where they risk injury. So I think we're doing it right. We're doing everything that you do right in a football game like this. And I just hope the community rallies around it because it's something that's for Tucson and something that's for us and it's something for our community, and that's why I'm a part of it.
Okay, so again, it's May, what date, and the venue again?
May 8th, Tucson High School football field.
And for this game to go forward, the Arizona Interscholastic Association has to sign off on it for that time. Is that what I heard you say?
For the most part, yes. I mean, we could do it anyway. We could move it to the summer, but it wouldn't be the same. I'd really like AIA to be our partners on this, and I think that they have some qualities in their organization that makes this possible. I'm really confident that we'll get that done.
Did the council bring up a reentry plan at all during the meeting yesterday? Was that entertained?
We started the preliminary discussions on it. It's a little, again, it's early, but we're hearing about opening parks, and like we've just opened up, we put up all the basketball hoops. We've opened up the Little League fields. We're looking at University of Arizona softball and baseball venues for social distance hosting of spectators. We're looking at starting to figure out office reentry protocols for the city offices that have been closed to the public. So, yeah, that discussion is happening. But let's be honest, Bill, none of us has ever done this before. We're kind of just doing it one thing at a time the best we can. And we just got to take a look at what's in front of us and go for it. And that's what we've got to do every day.
Well, after the show, I am off to get my second shot, so we'll see how all of that goes. You keep hearing about side effects, but believe me, what a wonderful feeling to know that one is fully vaccinated, Paul Cunningham.
It is liberating, and get some rest tomorrow, and drink plenty of fluids, and I'm not a doctor, so I don't drink lots of fluids with alcohol. I think that would probably be kind of... not be good, but either way, Bill, it is every day we were able to vaccinate another person is a good day. You know, Tucson's been really high end on that. My suspicion is that we're around 350,000 to 400,000 total jabs, and that includes the VA, the Walgreens, the CVS that don't get counted on the state side. And then there's a discrepancy with the POD.
Real
and
quickly,
the newest wrinkle is the. Is the J&J vaccine, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. We don't know really how many have been administered in King County. But other than that, we're getting there. It's good.
Thanks, Paul Cunningham.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
All right. Buckmaster, Midway Point, midweek in the week. We'll be back. Karen Caesar's next.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster back with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Once a quarter here on the Buckmaster Show, we focus on what I believe, and I think I probably have pretty much company on this, the most important resource in Arizona. You got to have water. It's our Arizona Water Quarterly presented by our friends at Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. Joining us in studio, Karen Caesar, Pima County representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Karen, good to see you.
Always good to be here. Thank you.
You know, when the last time we saw you at the close of 2020, of course, was a very difficult year. We're off and running in 2021. Anything new at CAP?
Well, there's a lot new and a lot going on. First of all, I think last time I told you, we had seated two new CAP board members, one from Pima County, Marie Perthrey, and also Stephen Miller from Pinal County. We followed that up in February, and at our board meeting, we elected our new board officers for the next 2 years. So now going forward for the next 2 years, our president is Terry Goddard, vice president is Mark Taylor, and he's from Pima County, and the secretary is Alexander Arboleda.
Well, I know Terry Goddard pretty well. He'll be a great president for you.
Absolutely.
So you're off and running here into 2021. There's other news going on, I guess, with the strategic plan.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that we did finish up last year is that we had completed and approved a strategic plan that's going to carry us forward in the next several years. And I know sometimes people think strategic plans are, you know, boring, a big yawn.
The eyes can glaze over when you hear that.
Yeah. But our process was anything but boring, and it was a challenge. We accomplished a lot of it virtually. We at least had a couple meetings in person before we were transitioning to a virtual environment. But the whole process included board interviews, retreats, stakeholder forums, employee surveys, and we had more than 35 organizations participate and provide input into this process. And the whole thing is available, of course, to see online, but it resulted in two things. We modified our vision and our mission statement. So I'm going to read our new vision is CAP is going to serve as a collaborative partner and innovative leader in sustainable management and reliable delivery of water to Central Arizona. That is an update from our old vision statement. And our mission is that we are a dedicated team that reliably manages and delivers Colorado River water.
So now you have the strategic plan, and I hope it doesn't sit on a shelf.
No, it won't. And it was designed to be a kind of action-packed, short and sweet. It's not overly voluminous. A lot of dialogue went into it. A lot of very intentional words were selected around it. It won't sit on the shelf. Our employees are going to be using that as they head into the next two-year budget process, and they can use that plan now to build operational business plans and ensure that the goals and efforts going forward are consistent with the strategic direction that was provided by the board. So we're very proud of it, and it definitely is something that is going to be referred to, and hopefully, whether it's an online plan or a paper plan, dog-eared and noted for the next couple years going forward.
So many of us are concerned 2020 was really a very bad year for the drought here in Arizona, a very tough year. We're off to a winter that really has only seen, Karen, maybe one rain event. It rained for a couple of days in early January. It just doesn't seem to be going on right now, and that's not a good sign. And I wonder, how does all of this affect the Colorado River?
Well, we all look on the weather app on our phone and you know, the 7 days, sun. Every now and then, you know, there's a 40% chance of rain, and I think we all get excited. It's been very dry. And while we are right now operating in what is known as Tier Zero, which means that we have been already taking a reduction of 192,000 acre feet of water to CAP, which has impacted some water banking and some excess water aquifer replenishment supplies. We know that we are most likely looking at what we call a Tier 1 shortage in 2022 next year. And that will be declared by the Bureau of Reclamation in August, and it will be based on the hydrology. Now, you know, Colorado is predicted to have a pretty big snow coming up, but who knows if that is even going to be enough to push us back, you know, back into a tier zero. So
yeah, they're talking about a couple of feet of snow just in the Denver area.
And up to 9 feet up in the Estes Park area from
what
I hear.
Yeah, but who knows, right?
Right. So that certainly helps, but you know, but ultimately we will know for sure in August. And but we're not just sitting around, you know, crossing our fingers. We are actively preparing for what a tier one would look like. And frankly, we made those plans as part of the drought contingency plan that was adopted, you know, within the past year. So we're getting ready, but a tier one would reduce our water use by 512,000 acre feet, and that would be borne mostly by CAP.
Give us a little idea. What are we talking about 512,000 square feet?
Yeah, it's a significant amount of water. But first, it's really important to note that even with that reduction, which again we have planned for and is not coming as a surprise when it does come, there will be no immediate impact to any municipal or tribal water supplies. Our highest priority water users will not see any reduction in their water supplies, and that's so important to know. We know that agriculture is going to bear the brunt of the cuts, but again, not unexpected. And CAP and ADWR are working closely with all of our stakeholders to communicate what to expect as the year progresses. So, you know, with the collaboration and cooperation developed during the drought contingency plan, plus a lot of very active discussion right now, should a tier one shortage be declared, we will be ready to handle it.
So the plan is in place.
The plan is absolutely in place. That was the DCP that we talked about extensively for the last couple years. And we've just been fortunate to stay in tier zero up until now. But I think, you know, those days are going to, you know, the luck is going to run out here pretty soon. Even the luck of the Irish on this one is going to run out.
St. Patrick's Day right around the corner. I want to talk a little bit about the emergency that we saw in Texas and the situation with the power grid over there. And I'm wondering, what about Arizona and the CAP? And the CAP is the largest power user in the state, and that may surprise a lot of people.
Well, right. And because we are the single largest power user in the state of Arizona, it takes a lot of power to pump our water from essentially sea level at the Colorado River all the way here to almost 3,000 foot elevation in Tucson. And, watched what was happening in Texas, and that was horrible for so many people. But the questions, you know, did, I think, naturally turn. And I've gotten a lot of questions about, you know, could this happen here in Arizona? And the good news is really the answer is it's not likely. And here's why. Arizona, as a power, you know, center, is in the Western Electricity Coordinating Council, or a larger network of interconnected power grids. And so compared to the Texas system, which was basically essentially an island unto itself, we have the option and the ability to substitute or import other supplies should we need them. And we're able to do that pretty easily.
Yeah, Texas decided to go it alone on this, and I think it really came back and it really bit them.
That was something that they've, the decisions made in Texas a while ago. I mean, infrastructure decisions like this are expensive, and you just don't, it's not just like plugging in an electrical cord into an outlet. Getting an interconnected power grid is really critical. And part of it is, you know, the other thing CAP has done is, you know, we've diversified our power portfolio. So we have multiple sources. So we have a great deal of redundancy in our power supply. And so if we have outages as one area, we have the opportunity to switch and get power from other places, including our renewable power supplies through solar. The questions about whether this outage, a lot of it was in Texas, was related to climate change. The other thing to know that, again, just like the future coming shortages, we are not crossing our fingers and hope things, you know, just stay the same. We have a climate adaptation plan that that considers a wide variety of futures, hotter, drier, wetter, colder. And we are constantly reviewing those scenarios and making sure that we are prepared for whatever Mother Nature is going to toss at us.
And that is good to know. Anything else quickly that you would like to add, Karen?
Well, just like always, we really appreciate being able to talk to your listeners, and there's a lot to know. Your listeners can go to our website, or they can go to knowyourwaternews.com and sign up for updates. And there's a lot of information, infographics, news releases, anything you'd like to know about water can be found there. So we appreciate everybody checking us out there.
And also the CAP, the main website, cap-az.com, right?
Yes, a lot of links to everything are found there as well.
Always a pleasure. Karen Caesar, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Coming up next, the food bank for animals. And we will talk with Donna DeConcini. She'll be with us right after this.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. So many folks have been asking me, Bill, you've been promoting Silver City and Grant County for years now. We want to go back. It's a three-hour drive. We want to go back. Well, the good news, they're slowly rolling out things over in the Land of Enchantment. They closed things down pretty darn tight during COVID, but things opening up. So now would be a good time to start your planning at Visit Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org. There you will find all sorts of information about what to do, and there's all sorts of great outdoor activities and some great places to stay as well in Silver City. The Buckmaster Show Lifeline is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Donna DeConcini. Donna is the founder of the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank. Donna, how are you?
Bill, I am really great, and thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, congratulations with what you have done with the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank. Tell us about the big event that is coming up this weekend, your big grand opening.
Well, first I have to say that I am a co-founder.
Okay.
My daughter, Margot DeConcini, she and I in 2014 came up with the idea of being able to help people with their animals so that they didn't have to give them up or put them out in the desert or starve or have to make the choice of whether to feed their family or to feed their animals. So I'm a co-founder with my daughter, Margot. And this weekend, we are going to be doing a grand opening of the Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank Gallery. We have a donation and a distribution center that for the past 7 years or 5 years has been out of my carport. And we've driven hundreds of miles to give people food and picked up and delivered. But now we have a central location. We opened up on the 12th of December, and to date, we have collected 12,000 pounds, thanks to the community, to support to be able to come and help us to be able to help those who have animals that don't know what to do. So this weekend, we decided that we were going to go ahead and do our grand opening, now that we have all the kinks out of our system. And so we're going to be at the Monterey Village Center, which is on Wilmont and Speedway. And luckily, we are right next to Beyond Bread in that shopping center. We have 35 vendors, great lemonade, great kettle corn, great baked items, and all the vendors that have been joining us for the past 7 years at different markets that we do around Tucson in order to give awareness and to collect food are all going to be there contributing animal food as well. So we invite the whole public to be able to come and enjoy and the festivities that we're doing. We've got balloons and gifts and lots of different things that we're going to be giving to people that are bringing in animal food. It could be dog food, it could be cat food, it could be iguana food. Whatever they have, we've got a need for it. We have done about 162 families since we opened up in December. So this grand opening is so important to us to be able to let the people know that we're here, we have a community that supports us, but we are being able to help those people that can't afford to keep their animals, their companions, and be able to feed them. So that's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and it's from 10 to 5 both days.
Are your partners helping out? I'm a big supporter of the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center. Have they helped out with this?
Well, actually, we've helped them.
Oh, okay.
Since we've opened, we have donated to Friends of PAC about 1,000 pounds of items and beds and food and medical cat food and dog food that we get that I know that they need. So they've come two or three times and they've picked up items, and we now have another load that we want to be able to give to them. We feel that supporting the Pima Animal Control and the Friends of PAC, and also we support the Gospel Rescue Mission.
Mm-hmm.
They give us the food and we pack it up, and then we in turn, when people bring us towels and sheets and different items that are household items, we donate those to them so that they can help with the gentlemen that are living in their property there. So it's a give and take for both of us, all of us in the community. But we've done about 1,000 pounds of donations to PAC, and we will continue to be able to do that as long as we can.
Boy, what a wonderful thing you're doing, Donna, you and your daughter, Margot. This is helping so many animals and families, especially during the past 12 months, what we've all been through. And some people really, it they could barely feed themselves, and then they had their companion animals. So you've really saved a lot of lives. You're to be congratulated, Donna.
Well, I think that Margo and I both have a motto, and it is, the best way to start our day is by helping our neighbors. And we've continued that for so many years. And the vendors, the great artists that we have in the gallery in front, they contribute to us by giving us a percentage of their sales. So that helps out. We have an incredible volunteer list of people that come in and just help with advertising and handing out flyers and even just dusting or vacuuming or whatever the need is that we have in the gallery. And we're open. We're closed on Mondays, but we are open every day from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And during that time, we get so many walk-ins and so many people touch our lives with their need. And we just care for them all, and we want to be able to help them all. And so by having this opening that we're doing, it just will allow people to get to know us better.
Are other cities doing this, or is this, how did you come up with the idea back in 2014, you and your daughter?
Well, Margo was working at a feed store, and there were so many people that came in looking for help for their horses and their animals that we decided that we would go ahead and do that. So we started collecting, and we are the fourth nonprofit animal food bank in the country.
Really?
So there aren't too many 501c3s that are doing this. Then there are a lot of people that help people out. But as far as being a 501c3 and on the grand scale that we're doing it, there's only a few organizations in the country that do what we do. And I know that people say, oh, well, the food bank. Yes, I give to the food bank all the time. But we have the distinction that we are animal food bank, and that we have been helping so many people. And where before we might have gotten 30 or 40 calls a month, now we get 30 or 40 calls a day.
Wow, and 30 or 40 a day?
A day. And you know, we are so thankful and so grateful to the community that have been able to help us by bringing in animal food. Sometimes they've had a companion that has gone over the Rainbow Bridge, and they don't know what to do with the food that they have left over. So luckily we've been able to take that. We do take open bags. We do have a list of needs that we have besides dog food and cat food, things like wipes, alcohol wipes or postage stamps or Ziploc bags, because we are constantly in the back putting animal food in bags so that we can hand that out to people. We work with a downtown partnership. We work with the Tucson Park Police. We do leashes and collars so that everybody is in accordance with the law to be able to have a leash and a collar on their animals. We've taken all of the board that we have has bags of cat food and dog food and leashes and collars in their car. And that's a prerequisite for being on the board, by the way,
that
they are able to hand these out to people that are in need.
Donna,
during the hot months, we also are collecting boots for the hot weather.
Yes, Donna, I'm going to have to run. Just a few seconds left. What about your website? Is there a central place to go?
Yes, we are at www.saasb.org.
Perfect.
And that's Southern Arizona Animal Food Bank. Or they can Google us.
All right. Donna DeConcini, congratulations to you and your daughter, Margo. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Bye.
Bye. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you well this afternoon.